Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Hope you enjoyed your extended weekend. Recapping, I guess, a little bit of my 30th high school reunion. That was a fun time. Really great to see friends that, in some cases, that I hadn't seen in 30 years. I mean, that's amazing. And for that spark to be there, that was there 30 years ago when we were friends in high school. It's just, it's the timelessness of that experience. I think it says something to the Kairos time, right? We have Chronos time, we have Kairos, we have that which is God's time. And as odd as it is, there's something of that nature that's in that essence. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, lots of interesting things happening on Facebook over the weekend. Certainly, as a lot of it heated up last night. Bill Nye, the science guy, apparently, with a new program coming out, Bill Nye Saves the World. This got us into some interesting territory and conversations about atheism and secular humanism, things of this nature. So we'll get into that this afternoon. And also Pierce Morgan on this this crazy situation with a trophy hunting girl from Utah. Why do you want to pick a fight with a 12-year-old? I just don't understand that. We'll get into all of that and more this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. As I like to say, political positions without the partisan pandering. You won't find that here. Goodness, no. And it was interesting because I discovered that there are many of my high school classmates who follow at least my Facebook posts. They may not listen to the show. I hope they do now, that they know this exists if they didn't know before. But they said that the one thing that they appreciate about what I post on Facebook is the fact that they never know what direction it's really going to take, right? Is it coming from the left? Is it coming from the right? We don't know. It could be all over the place. But hopefully there's a consistent... it's like my golf game. It's a consistent inconsistency, right? It could be the left side of the fairway. It could be the right side. I really don't know. We'll get it there eventually. And I may birdie this hole and quadruple bogey the next one. That's the consistent inconsistency. But that's not what I'm coming from. I'm coming from a very sincere place with the Catholic ethos, the Catholic mindset. And really what I pray, and I do pray this is true, an informed conscience when it comes to what our church believes. It's interesting, if you take a look at my Facebook page, you see that I posted this earlier yesterday. It's some ballot initiatives and what's happening when it comes to the Catholic vote, especially on these issues, America Magazine with this information. And, it is undoubtedly true that we cannot be pegged when it comes to, certainly not a left or right leaning position. I do know that there are faithful Catholics who are registered in one party or another. I get that. But certainly when you look at what the bishops, our guiding, really what should be our guidepost when it comes to these principles, the USCCB, when it comes to voting, we should ideally listen to what they have to say. It really kind of seems to be all over the place because it comes down to one thing, and that is principle. But from a partisanship standpoint, it really doesn't make sense. So in this article, some interesting things like marijuana, for instance. This is a referendum issue on a couple of ballots. Looks like where the states, Arizona, recreational use Arizona, California, Maine, Massachusetts, Nevada, will vote on legalization, while Arkansas, Florida, Montana, North Dakota, and Oklahoma voters will consider making the plant available for medical use. So a lot of marijuana on the ballot. And as this article points out, the Catholic bishops have talked about the harmful effects on children, drugs' possible role in increased accidents. There are those talking about the gateway that this could be to other drugs. Pope Francis has weighed in on the issue, saying that it is not decriminalization efforts that will be the solution. To think that harm can be reduced by permitting drug addicts to use narcotics is in no way to resolve the problem, he said. No to every type of drug use. It's as simple as that. So, you know, not a liberal perspective from the Catholic side when it comes to this particular issue. Changes in minimum wage laws, we're going to see some of this on the ballot in some states. When it comes to what the Catholic Conference has said, certainly of the Washington State, talking about the public policy there, Sister Sharon Park says the church has a very strong position on living wage, not just a minimum wage. She's talking here to America Magazine, and should look at who is being harmed and who is being helped by specific proposals. So there is certainly a desire coming from the Catholic perspective to really see human dignity supported, right? That's, we talk about that all the time. And living wage is not minimum wage. We know that. So when it comes to taking a look at wages and what is fair and what should be considered livable, the church, we want to see that. We definitely want to see those changes. Euthanasia, universal health care, there's a couple of these ballot initiatives happening. Looks like euthanasia currently legal in Western states, including California, Oregon, and Washington. Voters in Massachusetts rejected a similar proposal in 2012. And Colorado apparently will be voting in this election. And of course, when it comes to the euthanasia issue, we're pro-life womb to tomb. That's how we see it as Catholics. And certainly there's an understanding that redemptive suffering is, there is an entire theology of redemptive suffering, stemming, of course, all the way back to Christ on the cross with the ultimate in redemptive suffering that has afforded all of us the opportunity of grace. And in some of my discussions over the weekend on my Facebook page talking about this exactly, just the fact that, hey, you may not, just because you don't understand or subscribe to the concept of redemptive suffering and you think that people need to have this quote-unquote death with dignity, the dignity of humanity has been afforded us, the opportunity of grace and the opportunity of everything because of the ultimate redemptive suffering of Christ on the cross. So whether you realize it or not, you have that. You have that opportunity. It was afforded to you. Stricter gun laws, we're going to see some of this on the ballot this time for voting. There's a lot on this issue. It says here from the American Magazine, for a long time now, bishops in the United States have called for reasonable policies to help reduce gun violence. This is Archbishop Thomas Winski of Miami. Archbishop Winski, chairman of the Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development for the USCCB, says, while no measure can eliminate all acts of violence which involve firearms, we welcome reasonable efforts aimed at saving lives and making communities safer. So, certainly when it comes to the common good and human dignity, these four platform issues, which are common good, human dignity, solidarity, global solidarity, and local subsidiarity, really all of these come into play when you look at this particular issue. And then voters in California must weigh in on a whopping 18 ballot questions, some on the same issue, with even more decisions awaiting voters in local races. And there's everything from porn, plastic, and everything in between, it says. And California will have an opportunity to decide if fees generated by paper and reusable bag sales forced by the state's plastic bag ban should be redirected to environmental projects. They could also vote to overturn plastic bag ban itself. So interesting things when it comes to California. But as we know, when it comes to our environment, when it comes to care for creation, this is a work of mercy now. So there's that that we have to consider. Also, the capital punishment is a potential abolishment of the death penalty. That's on a ballot initiative as well. So certainly, as Catholics, we cannot support capital punishment. And as we know, there are those who make the claim, well, there's that caveat in the catechism that certainly talks about all but unnecessary, something similar to that, which Pope Francis has come out very clearly on a hope to abolish the death penalty. And we know that Saint John Paul II was incredibly consistently pro-life. And the reason why that caveat is in the catechism is because it was added from one of Pope John Paul II's writings. So, you know, when it comes to politics, especially these ballot initiatives, but not only that, just simply voting, we as Catholics should take this opportunity that we have very seriously and really weigh those things out, especially, my goodness, especially if you are in a state with a ballot initiative opportunity, one of these that the church certainly has a solid perspective on, so there's no gray area or guesswork that you have to kind of wade through. You know, I mean, this is, the church has spoken, the bishops have spoken, the Pope has spoken. We know time and time again that these are our principles, these are our values. When it comes to that, you have to vote with a Catholic ethos. I would certainly hope that you would. And I realize that there can be gray area on who you're voting for. I get that. I understand that you could vote for someone with some really egregious perspectives when it comes to their policies. You could, if you're voting not for their egregious policies. And I know that sounds crazy, and it's almost like, how can that even make sense? But we value the conscience, an informed conscience, mind you, a well-formed conscience through the teachings of the church, but we value that conscience so much that the church is not going to say, don't vote for this person. Don't vote, no matter what you do, don't vote for him or her. We're not going to do that. And we're simply going to say, look, if you're voting for this particular candidate, not specifically because they support something egregious, but because of something else that you can agree with, you can do that. You can do that morally, as interesting as that is. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. mentioned earlier, I had my 30th high school reunion. My first, and they've had these, you know, 10, 25, 30, maybe 10, 20, 25, 30, maybe 10, 20, I don't know. There's been a few of them, and I have just not had the, my 10th, I was on the air doing an air shift that I could not get out of 10 years after high school, early still in my radio career. And then the 25th, I was, I guess it was 20 or 20th. I can't remember. I'm chronologically challenged. I guess the 20th, forgive me, the 20th, because I do so many mobile DJ events, I was already booked for an event and it was around this time of year. So wedding season generally. And so I was doing a wedding. I was not able to get away to the event. And this one, they decided to put it on Labor Day weekend in hopes that, I think for two reasons, one, nobody would have other commitments necessarily, and maybe people would be in town visiting family and things of this nature, or have more time to get away. So that was kind of the reasoning. But I tell you, it was amazing to see old friends, just really fun, catching up with high school friends, and the timelessness that was, just like picking up where we literally left off 30 years ago. And I just think there's something so beautiful about that type of friendship. And yeah, I mean, granted, it's the formative time when there's something so special about those early years. I have the same relationships with my college friends when we are able to get together, which is few and far between as well. But there's just this, hey, this is the way we always were, and this is how it is. And something beautiful about that. It's like I say, it's this kairos of time. It's the fact that, yeah, there may be a lot of time between us. Absolutely. There's a ton of hours between here and there, but the depth of that friendship and the love, and really, I mean, I just think about that. I mean, just, I've said that many times about that, my high school group. It's just a tremendous love that we have for each other and still do. And it's amazing. And it's really neat to see that and experience that. And it was great for me to have that experience with this being the very first one of these I was able to attend. And there's some who haven't missed one, right? They've been there for all of them. And so it was really neat. But again, I think that, you know, faith, hope, and love, and what remains is love. And we know that, and there's a glimpse of the eternal when you have this opportunity to reconnect with friends after that kind of time. And yeah, you're catching up, you're learning, you're discussing, you're having these, a lot of reminiscing, sharing stories, remember when, and this and that. And it's just, to me, like I say, I mean, it's a glimpse of the eternal. And I think it's beautiful to see that, and just a terrific experience. So I really look forward to another time of gathering and really being able to spend time like that with this group. And we've all been saying on Facebook, like, oh, we need to do this again, because we all had such a great time. It wasn't long enough. It's been too long since we got together. And, you know, two things: we need to do this more frequently, and we need more time when we do it. And yeah, you know, there's just something beautiful about that, to have that kind of connection. And I value those friends, I value that connection there. And we're, like I say, some of us are like, hey, let's try to get together more frequently. There's this and this and this. So, you know, the fruit of that reunion, any kind of reunion of that nature, whenever relationships are rekindled, right? I mean, wholesome relationships, mind you. That's the beauty of this type of innocence and love of just the company that is people that are, that you mature with, right? I mean, it's just amazing. But whenever that is rekindled in that fashion, just amazing stuff. So good. Speaking of education, interesting stuff. It looks like there is at least one school district, and I'm guessing probably more to follow suit, and more who probably already have done things of this nature, but are basically saying We are not going to teach creationism and intelligent design in our science curriculum. And this is the friendly atheist who has posted this in his Pathos blog. And not surprising, as we grow more and more secular humanistic, this is something that I think is to be expected. And, you know, for me, honestly, I'm okay with stacking up various theories and saying, well, this is this theory, this is this, and this is that, because as I posted, and we'll, if we have time, we'll get into all of this in this discussion and the segment. If not, we'll talk more. But, you know, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear in this. If you want to explore all of the potential options, do that. And that's okay, but there's nothing that says, you know, unless you're a strict fundamentalist and you simply want to just say that the Bible is a science book, which it's not, nor was it intended to be, and that's a beautiful thing about having a Catholic perspective, we look at both the history, undoubtedly, the context of this, but we also see the allegory and we see the many other elements of biblical reference that is not intended to be scientific. It's not intended to say this is all the lesson you need. The beautiful thing about, especially as a Catholic, and I valued this since my conversion, is that if you want to believe in strict creationistic, if that's a word, strict creationism, strict 6,000-year-old earth, if that's what you want to believe, so be it. But if you want to say, well, maybe this was longer and maybe there's really, you know, we don't have the calendar that we use now is relatively new, so we can't say that this biblical stuff was based on a Gregorian calendar that didn't exist. And if you want to look at things in a completely different perspective and see more allegory than fact or strict scientific this or that, then that's okay. That's okay. Especially if that's what's gotten you hung up, then that's okay. And I say, what's odd to me is these are the things that people want to argue. This is the first place people want to go, well, the earth isn't 6,000 years old and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Jonah wasn't, how can you say a guy was eaten by a fish or, you know, I mean, just crazy stuff. And what I say is, if that bugs you, sort of always said, if that's your sticking point, if that's what's keeping you from experiencing or exploring the faith that is so much richer than those questions, if that's what is in the way, then let's just remove that. What if we just remove that? Can we remove that? Can we just take it? Just pretend that's not even there. If that's not there, are you willing now to enter into a willingness to learn more? Would you be willing to explore this? Because if that's your hang-up, let's just pretend it's not there. If that's the case, if it's gone, now do we have a premise? Do we have an opening? Do we have an opportunity? And if that is the case, then now let's move beyond it. Well, okay, let's just move immediately beyond that. Now, let's look at this. Right? Let's look at what Jesus brought to this earth. Let's talk about, you really want to have a hard time wrapping your head around something that nobody argues about because they can't even get there because they're stuck on the other stuff. Let's start talking about a Eucharistic reality, which even those of us who embrace it only understand it as a dimly at best. We don't have a true illumination of the Eucharistic reality. We just have to accept it. We have to say, okay, there's something beautiful about this mystery. We're not supposed to understand it in its complete and total detail, where we can chart and graph and diagram or what. That's not what it's for. It's here to simply say, you know what, this is a beautiful understanding of a faith that we can embrace as exactly that. It's a faith. It's something that takes a willing suspension of disbelief. It takes a suspending your will and your intellect and simply allowing to happen this mystery that can take place. If we're willing to do that, then let's forget about that other stuff. But what's happened is now Bill Nye, the science guy, who is a mechanical engineer, is that his deal? Who basically started out as a comedian. He started out with this Comedy Central show some 25, 30 years ago, whenever it was, and just doing kind of sketch bit stuff and goofing off as the science guy, kind of really as a parody even of himself. I mean, that's how he started, right? So realize that. But for whatever reason, it kind of caught on, and he's become Bill Nye the Science Guy, and it seems to have some degree of credence with what he says, even though I believe, and this was my assertion on Facebook, that basically what he presents is largely political. He wants to push left-leaning agenda, and this is his platform for doing that. So whatever he can do is Bill Nye Saves the World, which I would hope is a parody as well. He's parodizing himself once again. I'd hope we'd see that, but we'll talk more about that coming up in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Mentioned this a moment ago. It ran out of time. I want to get into it because I think it's worth discussing this a little more at length. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, his new program, Bill Nye Saves the World. I posted this last night with essentially a statement regarding, yes, because we need political perspectives to change the world, whatever. I don't know exactly what I said, something of the nature of this. And then, of course, everything went crazy after this. How dare you? Bill Nye is a respected scientist. Well, Bill Nye started his career as a sketch comedy guy. This is what I was saying a moment ago. He was parodizing, if that's a word. He was a parody of himself, the science guy. And it was this, I remember that on Comedy Central, Almost Live was the name of the show back in the day. And it was just a goofy thing. And it just, for whatever reason, kind of caught. And I think he kind of got wrapped up in his own celebrity of sorts, and then the next thing you know, he's getting honorary degrees from places, and he's now like, oh, okay, well, I guess I should take this seriously. But I think that his main deal is just driving this, what I say is a very liberal agenda, and if you have paid attention to some of the things he's presented, he makes no bones about it. He's got a YouTube channel, or I'm pretty sure it's a YouTube deal. Don't hold me to that. It could have been actually recorded for other use, but YouTube is full of it. Let's put it that way. You can go to YouTube and Google up Bill Nye the Science Guy on just about any. Do you Google up on YouTube? I guess you do, because Google owns YouTube now, so right, so it's all connected. So if you search on YouTube, it could be considered Googling, if you will. But if you search up YouTube for Bill Nye, you're going to see all of these crazy videos that aren't him talking about science. It's not him talking about something that is teaching kids important lessons on the way the chemical compounds work, and it's nothing. It's him basically doing what I do every day, which is just talking about my opinions. And that's okay. That's okay if you call it that. I don't call myself anything other than a commentator. That's all I am. I'm a news commentator. I'm a political commentator. I'm a religion commentator. That's what I do. It's all opinion. Now, granted, I hope that my opinion is formed by the teachings of the church, and I try to play my cards very close when it comes to the perspectives of our Catholic teaching, and I'm always going to take that that foundation and build upon it. So that's where I'm coming from. There shouldn't be any question about that, but I certainly do not present myself as being something I'm not. I'm not an expert on anything. I'm a struggling, faithful Catholic trying to live my faith as best as I can and still not good at it, right? As I like to say, I'm a practicing Catholic. I don't have it right. I still have to practice. I got to get it down. And for me, practicing puts me in the confession line frequently. So it's, I'm not pretending to be anything I'm not. And certainly if I was presented with some sort of accolade because of my whatever, I couldn't even accept that, because I don't have that authority. I don't have that education. I don't have that position. There is nothing that puts me in any particular position to say I have anything other than I read a lot. I do that. I pray a lot, and I fail a lot. Maybe those are the things that give me, if there's anything that gives me any credibility, it's that. That's it. So for Bill Nye to come out and say, Bill Nye saves the world, I would hope this is more of his own making fun of himself in that respect. But at the same time, he does push a liberal agenda. There's no doubt about it. He is going to do that. So we got to see this for what it is. And then this got all into atheism. And then the next thing I know, it's all about why atheists. In fairness, I then reposted. I posted in reference to this post, which I'll often do. I'll spin off a post. It's kind of like the Jeffersons off of All in the Family, right? When I'm on Facebook, so I'll take a conversation and then I'll spin it into a completely new post rather than just adding it into the thread. I don't know, that's what I do. Because I learned from TV sitcoms that there can be success in that. So I spin off a conversation and say, essentially, look, the church has nothing to fear when it comes to science. Dig as deeply as you want. We invented the scientific method. We're not hiding anything. There's nothing you're going to discover and like, this ruins it all. We're not going to go there. You're not going to find that. That's not going to happen. So dig all you want. You're not going to make a discovery. You're not going to find that we were all wrong all this time. We have nothing to fear. However, what I assert in my position here on Facebook, the post that I made and which got all kinds of other conversations swirling off of this, is that atheists have such a fear of God, such a fear. It's not this, I'm good and I'm a secular humanist. Do that then. That's not what you don't call yourself a secular humanist. You call yourself an atheist for a reason, because you have an antagonism toward God. It's an antagonistic relationship. It's not simply like, I don't care. Then why define yourself as that? You don't have to define yourself as that. You know what? Tell me you're a secular humanist. You know what I'm going to say? Well, good. So what are you doing for humanity with no faith driving you? Because I know I did that. I was a secular humanist of sorts one time. And there are a lot of things that I tried to do that appealed to the common good that had nothing to do with a faith. I get that. I understand that dynamic well. And I say to you, what are you doing? Let's work together. Let's find ways to work together. But if all you're doing is saying I'm an atheist, that to me says you are antagonistic towards something that you supposedly don't believe in anyway. Why label yourself as such? And in this conversation, as I get into it, I say, you know, I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I'm not a Sasquatch. Is that a Sasquatch? I don't have to label myself as not believing in Sasquatch, because, as I say, I fear the Yeti so much, I've got to oppose him, this thing which doesn't exist. So, and then a friend of mine responded back and said, but Sasquatch isn't on money and isn't on the Pledge of Allegiance and all this stuff and isn't in your face all the time. And I get that. But at the same time, if you really don't believe, then don't believe. If you really don't believe, then show me you're confident in that. Call yourself a secular humanist and really stand up for humanity. Really be a humanitarian. If that's what you are, if that's what you want to be. Oh, and then I said, you know what? The church has undoubtedly done more for the here and now. We do this as Christians. We promote the here and now, which you would think is the absolute opposite because of a temporal understanding. If this is all temporary, why does it matter? When, if you ask me, secular humanists need to be investing everything they've got into the here and now because this is it. This is all you got. Why would you not invest everything? And studies clearly show the contrary, that when it comes to charitable giving, when it comes to whatever, volunteerism, donations, it's all off the charts in comparison when it comes to those who claim a faith and those who don't. So I'm just asking for a little bit of intellectual honesty. That's all I want. You know, be a secular humanist. If you don't believe, you don't believe. Don't make another religion out of your disbelief, though, because that's basically what you're doing. If all you're doing is spending, if you're expelling a moment of your energy trying to disprove a God that you supposedly don't believe in, that's energy that you could be spending helping humanity. If you're a humanitarian, if that's really what you're about, show me that's what you're about. Let's see that. Put that out there for us to see. Lead by your example, not by your desire to disprove something that supposedly doesn't exist anyway. So that was my whole premise. So if Bill Nye is going to have his show and he's going to spew his liberal agenda and his atheistic positions because he's the guy who's going to save the world, first off, I hope he does it. I hope he goes back to his roots of sketch comedy and just being a parody of himself. That's what I want to see. That stuff was funny. Just, you know, make it funny. Make it what it is. Don't now think, oh, well, now I'm being taken seriously and people respect this whole science guy thing. And this is something that now I need to play up as much as everyone else has played up. Yeah, I mean, don't do that. Just be your funny self. Do that, and then take whatever you got. Whatever you got. What, if it's your acting skills, if it's your ability to convince others, then use that for the common good. Because that's what Pope Francis says about atheists, right? He says, hey, you know what? We'll meet you doing good. Now, what he means by that is do good, right? When he says that, he's saying, so if you really want to be respected, atheists, get out and do good, because we'll see you there. We'll see you at the soup kitchen. We'll see you at the homeless shelter. We'll see you giving of our time, helping others do whatever they need help with, right? Helping our neighbor as we give of ourselves. We will encounter you in those areas and we'll realize you're legit. That's what he's saying. So do it. Atheists, be a secular humanist. That's all we have time for. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.